Senator Ricks, good morning. It's good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, Neil and Julie.
Well, I was just telling you, I thought that we were in the waning days of the legislative session last week until your chamber, the Senate, voted to reject the House budget, and now it's kind of back to the drawing board for JFAC, and we'd love your, your position on this.
Yeah, so that was an interesting vote that happened. It was the budget on health and welfare, which is, I don't know, I think $5.7 billion. It's really, really big. There's different views on why that went down in the Senate. I actually took a time to talk to some of the members who voted against it. And, of course, from the Democrat side, they want more money to go to Medicaid and other things in health and welfare. You've got some of the more conservative, maybe call them hardliners or whatever the case may be, who wanted less money to go to Medicaid. They don't like to receive a lot of federal funding in Idaho's budget, and so that's the reason they voted against it. And then maybe some more in the middle there wanted some cuts done more in a way that was not across the board, that maybe take a few dollars from different areas, but not in some. And that particular bill had more of a across the board type of cuts. So there's really, I think, Senator Guthrie made quite a speech on that, and I think the press made a big to-do about it, but I think that bill was dead. Even if he hadn't have spoken.
So doomed, I think, no matter what, then. Yeah,
I think so.
What would you have liked to have seen different, Senator Ricks?
Oh, well, I mean, the problem with that is, so they changed the budget process a couple of years ago. So we have these maintenance budgets. And in this case, there's 12 budgets rolled all into one big master one. And there's, I think what's going to happen is they're going to take out some of the sub budgets out of the bill that were problematic, that people had trouble with. One group that I talked to had problems with receiving federal funds for daycare and also the state matching funds for paying for daycare services. And so that was actually a pretty big issue with a lot of the more conservative folks. So I think they'll take certain parts of the budget out and separate those to vote on them separately, and then I think this will come back in a day or two.
So, Senator, one thing I did want to ask you, and this actually has come up as well this last week, and the union, they call it the union busting bill. I can't remember which bill number it is, but it's essentially barring school districts from automatically deducting union dues from teacher paychecks. That bill has been put in a drawer, and there's Senator Zitto, she tried to use a maneuver to bring that bill out onto the full floor, but it failed pretty badly as well. In fact, oddly, by nearly the same margin as the budget failed. Can you maybe shed some light on this, where a bill that passes so widely in the House just gets largely ignored in the Senate? And I think it's frustrating for lawmakers, it's frustrating for constituents, and for people watching the whole process, because a lawmaker's job is to consider and debate and then vote on legislation.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. That's a very interesting one, because it actually happens on both sides. It's not just the Senate, but oftentimes you hear about it more on the Senate side. It seems to get more more press and more representatives talking about it. That's interesting. I know this. I mean, I'm a chairman too.
Yeah.
I know in my committee, I've been very good about hearing almost every bill. If a bill has some real problems, then I might say, hey, let's take a look at this, and I think you're going to have some problems here. This might not pass committee. Maybe talk to the sponsor and see if they'll make some changes or bring a new bill, a new RS to fix those problems. In this bill, I think it's House Bill 745, if I remember the number right,
yep.
for the teacher union one. I honestly don't know the whole reasons why the chairman's holding that. It actually does surprise me a little bit, just knowing Senator Foreman. He's a very straight shooter. He'll tell you exactly what he's thinking and why, and I have a lot of respect for him for that reason. I did talk to him briefly, just really briefly about this before the vote on the floor the other day, and he says that, if I remember right, had something to do with the new IEA director promising to pull that part and make a change on their own where the school districts won't have to pay the dues, you know, through payroll deduction. That's kind of what he indicated with me. I need to visit with him a little bit more about that idea. But,
yeah.
I voted against the motion to stop it. We do try to maintain some process and, order within the Senate and not try to get ahead of each other on things. Especially the chairman, I think you'll see on the vote that every chairman voted against that motion.
Which makes sense. There's this the decorum, basically the respect of the chairmans and what they're doing. But I would say I don't recognize in the House as much that they do it, that those get stopped. They seem to hear things a lot more often on the House floor. What other things have you been working on, Senator Ricks? And do you feel like the Senate itself has been productive? Because I think that's some of the criticism that's been leveled against the Senate, that maybe they've been a little unproductive this session.
Well, the Senate, there's half as many members. There's always more bills that start in the House just by sheer numbers. I think I've been kind of keeping track daily of how many bills are being introduced by both sides. Last week alone, there was 50 new bills introduced in the House side, and I think the Senate introduced 16 bills. The number of bills doesn't necessarily, in my view, determine how productive you are. At this stage of the game, we're trying to get a lot of the budget bills passed, and because that's, constitutionally we have to do that. That's our main objective of getting that part done. So I'm glad to see budgets come through, but the House itself has about 402 or 405 bills introduced this year so far, and the Senate's about 162. So I mean, it is typical that the House always generates more. That's just kind of the way the process works. The Senate's a little more refined, a little less knee-jerk when it comes to legislation. We'll take a look at it, maybe a little finer eye, and oftentimes we'll amend things if they need amending. Our amending process is much simpler and better than what the House goes through. We can go in and out and amend, and we don't usually have competing amendments, for bills, changes. We consider those really hostile changes, and our process in the Senate's very good that way. But at the end of the session, there's always tension, too, between both bodies, and that's normal. And I think that's just part of the way our Constitution has designed this, that there is tension. The House State Affairs, I believe, is holding bills, too. I know last year around this time, they had over 20-25 bills that they were holding. But there ends up being a little bit of a tension and sometimes some hostage bill negotiating, if you call it, between the two bodies towards the end to try to get things wrapped up on certain ideas.
If there are bills, I know that we have some of the immigration bills that are also being held up from the House, and I don't know which committee. I think maybe it's State Affairs over in the Senate side. Are there bills that you would like specifically to see come out of the drawer and at least get a hearing in committee and get a vote in committee?
Oh, well, that's kind of a loaded question there. I spend a lot of my time, since I'm on the tax committee, dealing with tax issues, and there's always a few different little tax things here and there that we're working on, and so I spend a lot of my time that way. I do hear sound bites about the E-Verify bills and some other ones, and those are in state affairs. I'm not on that committee, so I don't know all the ins and outs of where some of those are. But, I am hoping on this teacher one, House Bill 745, I want to go back and talk to the Chairman Foreman a little more about that one, because I'm okay with that idea. I've been supportive. They've been trying to pass it for a couple of years in Idaho, and I actually do like the idea and concept, and I spend sometimes with certain big topics, especially with tax bills, trying to keep the train on the tracks, talking with people on both sides to keep things moving forward, and I'll try with that one a little bit more.
Okay.
That's like herding cats. So congratulations to you, Senator Ricks, for trying to do that. Is there a specific legislation in your committee you'd like to talk about?
One of the bills that I was a little frustrated didn't make it out of committee the other day was I actually was a sponsor of HCR 25, which is the Article 5 Constitutional Convention for a balanced budget amendment. On the Senate side, we thought we had the votes in Judiciary and Rules Committee to get it out, but we had at least one of our members flip and decide to vote against that, send it out to the floor. But I have a lot of concerns about, our national debt, and the balanced budget amendment group is really trying to get enough states close to prompt Congress into passing an amendment on their own instead of actually calling for a convention of the states style amendment. But it's to give them a little stick and get them going on that, because we have some serious problem with that national debt. The interest is just killing us. I am working on a couple of bills. There's one for guest workers out of state. So if you work at a, like go down to, or if somebody from Utah works in Idaho for a certain period of time, most states are starting to pass legislation that they'll give you like 20 days or so where you can do that and not have to pay taxes in that state. Idaho, I think, is just based on $1,000 or something like that. Our threshold's pretty low. We're require others to pay income tax on guest workers. Let's see. I have had an e-bike bill, an update, House Bill 500. There was a situation where a judge ruled that if somebody runs into an e-biker, then in some parts of the law, there was no penalty for that. And so we had to make a few tweaks and add, the electric assisted bicycles in all the areas where human, pedaling bicycles were concerned. And so there was just kind of a little minor fixes there. And I did get my cash rounding bill. So if you pay in cash, it's Senate Bill 1350, got that passed out of the Senate. If there's no change for pennies, then it just provides some guidance on rounding. So, but the big push is really to try to get our budgets passed and get us out of here.
So if I give you my 2 cents worth, what does that really turn into?
You have two thoughts out of that. So
yeah, I gotcha. Right. Senator Ricks, we really appreciate your time and wish you the best of luck in the remainder of the session.
Thank you. Enjoyed visiting with you.
All right.